If you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25 through 40. Matthew chapter, or 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25 through 40. We'll hit and miss some places within this just to be able to stay on topic in this chapter. But I want to speak on this subject, single and not ready to mingle, okay? Single and not ready to mingle. Verse 25, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Now, realize when Paul says, I've not got no commandment from the Lord from this, he's not saying what I'm saying to you is not to be received with authority. It's not inspired. He's just saying that I've not have any previous scripture I can back this up with per se, but by inspiration of God, I'm giving you new revelation, and it's to be received with authority. And he says, I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife, but, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. And this I say, brethren, that the time is short, and it remaineth that both they that have wives be as though that had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. But I'd have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are not of the world, how he may please his wife. Let me say the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I speak for your own profit, that not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let us do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And we're living during a time that people are trying to dismiss the role of marriage, but everybody seems to be looking for love in all the wrong places. We're living during a time that we have perverted what you described as marriage and come up with an alternative lifestyle. But also, God, it seems like there's a lot of pressure sometimes on people that are single. They think they must find somebody. They must have somebody. And I've seen some grievous errors in people's life because they have so desired to have a partner, to have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or husband, a wife, God, that they've lowered the standard and rushed into some things I don't think you had a part of. So I pray tonight that you would help us to honor marriage. And what marriage is wonderful. Well, marriage is good. And if a man finds a wife, he finds favor from God. I understand that. But God, help us tonight also to see that there is positive and there's good things and wonderful things and even great things that come about from being single. And God, may we see that it is advantageous as well, and not just a disadvantage for life. Lord, we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, the world has eHarmony, and there's all kinds of little tests you can say. It says if you're compatible with this one or that one. Probably people in Garrett County use farmersonly.com. And if I started the jingle, you would know it too. You don't have to be lonely, right? And I hear my kids singing that, and they about drive me crazy. They think it's funny. And it is kind of comical. Isaac said, "Dad, it's pretty comical, but them girls are kind of pretty." Right? And so, you know, there's a lot of things that we look at. The world pressures, it seems like there's a pressure in the world that everybody have a boyfriend, everybody have a girlfriend. Even starts in middle school. I think a lot of times parents do it even in grade school. They have these dances, and they'll go get, my little daughter's got a date for the dance. A fourth and fifth grade dance, are you kidding me? They go get their hair done. They post pictures on social media. The boys bought her a corsage, bought her a ring and necklace. Just silly, silly. I think encouraging fourth and fifth graders to date is dumb. I think it makes more sense to take a butter knife and stick into that light socket over there. Amen. I mean, that's just my thoughts on it. Take it for what you will. But we have a culture that puts pressure on everybody to be married, everybody have a boyfriend, everybody have a girlfriend. And the church often develops a similar mentality. If we're not careful, we can pressure people that's unmarried, people that's single, or people that's been divorced. We can put pressure on them to find a partner. Listen, I want to say to you, the church isn't the love connection. It's not in the love connection business. I don't believe we're the chapel of love either, okay? That's not what we are to be doing. Being single or unmarried is not a stigma to endure, according to the Apostle Paul in this chapter, but perhaps a calling to embrace. It's not necessarily something that you should fear. Listen, you don't have to be single and ready to mingle. Jill's cousin says that all the time. So I'm single, I'm ready. He says that to my boys all the time, just being goofy. I'm single and ready to mingle. Listen, God's people don't have to be that way. Many times single people feel like they're out of place even in churches. And why is that? Because they may be exterior pressure to date. I remember when I went to Somerset Baptist Institute, there was one lady there, and she thought it was her going life that every single preacher that she find a wife for them. And she, you know what she did? She just got in everybody's business where it didn't belong. Amen. We don't belong there. That's not our job, per se. And it's not your job to make a love connection. We may joke about it, but really that's nobody's life calling. They're not the doctor of love, and they're not the one that figures out how to make connections for people. But we have the idea that the chief desire of every lady and every gentleman should be to get married. And marriage and family is to be the key to godly womanhood and to the key to godly manhood. May I say to you, you can be a godly man and a godly woman and God be pleased with your life and not be second class and never be married. Now, marriage is good. I enjoy being married. But sometimes there are constraints that comes with the thing of being married that makes it difficult. Let me just say to you, single living is good, number one. Try to move through this quick tonight. Single living is good looking. Verse number one, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Now concerning things whereof you wrote unto me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman." He said, "Listen, it's good, fellas, if you can just stay away from women, that's good. If you can do it." Most fellas I know can't, but some can. And it's good if they can't. And then, so he goes on, and in verse number eight, he said, "I say therefore to the unmarried and to the widows, it's good for them if they abide even as I." Now, was Paul married? I don't believe he was married when he wrote this. Could Paul possibly been married earlier in his life? Good possibility. Does his wife die? I don't know. You say, well, what would happen? Maybe she left him when he converted to Christianity. We don't know, but I do know this. He was not married. He says, right, in verse 5, "For I would that all men were even as I, And so what's he talking about? He says, I say therefore to the unmarried and to the widows, that have become unmarried and those that are widows. So he was probably in one of those two categories. So Paul writes in here, and he says, I would that they were even as I. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. And I don't believe that Christian singles should ever feel like they're second class. Verse 26, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. Paul understood that there was pressure and persecution all around. And so being single during persecution is good. You don't have to worry about your wife. You don't have to worry about your family. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. Paul understood that. He had enough things to worry about himself. How could Paul carry on if he had to worry about wife and children and making sure that they were accommodated? Let me just tell you, it was easier for Paul to travel as a single man than it would have been as a husband and a father. Now you say, I don't know about that, Brother Grant. But let me just tell you, I'll race any of you. You let me jump in my truck and we'll drive to Florida. And you jump in your vehicle and you put a lady in there, three or four kids in there, various ages, but one is a teenager, one is an 8-year-old, and one is about a 6-year-old. Let's see who gets to Florida fastest. Amen? Let's see who, when he gets to Florida, is ready to go and see the guy that gets there and is ready to pull his hair out. Amen? That's what happens. It's easier. And Paul understood that with the present distress, it's good. Listen, Christian singles sometimes will feel like a second-class Christian, or that somehow that they are second-class Christians in the citizenship of the household of faith. Now, I've heard people say it to people, and I've probably been guilty too. Well, if you just pray, God would send you somebody. Have you ever been guilty of saying something like that? You don't have to raise your hand. You say, well, why would a nice girl like you be single? People say stuff. Public, I mean, why don't you just walk up and kick them in the shin? Well, how could a pretty girl like you not have a boyfriend? Has to be your personality. Not, no. So what was a guy like you? I mean, you got a lot going on. Why ain't you got a girlfriend? Listen, we don't know. God sees a person's singleness as a positive here in these verses I read, and not necessarily a negative. He doesn't see them as a problem, but rather as a positive. You see, I'll say to you, do you realize the Lord Jesus was single? I believe the Apostle Paul was single. I mean, we can look through history, and some of the greatest missionaries that ever existed were single. We support guys on the field that are single. They don't have wife, they don't have children. That why? Well, they're able to take care of things that they wouldn't be able to do if their family was there or had a family there. You see, there is some advantages of being single. And so God gives some the gift of a husband. Look at verse number 7. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God. God gives some the gift of a husband, the gift of a wife, but He also gives some the gift to be happily unmarried. Well, you notice he says, but every man hath this proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that manner. That's what he's talking about. Some people can be single, some can't. Some have the ability to do that. And so I want to say to you, if we look at this, Paul wished that everybody would be single like him, but he realized not everybody could do that. There's two men that I know, one personally, that is pastoring churches now, never been married, named Daniel Harper. And I do believe that God has gifted him this ability. Now, Daniel, tell you, he might marry somebody someday. He said he might. But Daniel's about 50 now, and he's just not, but he loves the Lord, serves the Lord, pastors, and never been married. And he's just, listen, I believe God uses him. And he's able to give himself to things that someone like me could not give myself to. And we had a deacon by the name of Earl Back when I was at Buncombe Baptist. Never been married, a World War II vet. And he died single, never dated anybody, never was married. And he felt like that's what, you know, God's plan was for his life. And he was content, and he was happy, and he was a servant, and he was a blessing. And he was like every child's grandfather. I mean, God used him, and he impacted lives in such a dramatic way. Let me just say this. Secondly, marriage is not the supreme goal of her life. Look in verse 26. For I suppose that this is good for the present distress. Paul looked at what was going on in the world, and he said, listen, it's not bad. I say it's good for a man to so be. So be what? To be single and during persecution, during times like this. It's not a bad thing. He says, art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loose. Don't look to become divorced or unmarried. He said, art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. You don't have to rush to get married. But here's what he says in the very next verse. But, and if thou marry, he says, listen, thou hast not sinned. So, listen, he makes it clear there that, number one, you shouldn't seek to be loose from a wife. But if you are loose, listen, you shouldn't necessarily seek, run, say, oh, I've got to have somebody, I've got to be married, I'm not going to be happy unless I'm married. He didn't say that. Then he goes on the flip side, but if you do marry, you've not sinned. But don't feel the pressure exterior, I can't even get the word out, from the outside. Let me change it, okay? Don't feel the pressure from the outside to change what you're doing. If you're happy in the Lord and the Lord's happy with you, you don't have to feel like you have to get married. That's wrong. And so that's what he lays out there. And so with this present tribulation looming, Paul says, with all this going on, marriage is not the chief goal, and staying single is not necessarily wrong, but it's not wrong if you want to get married. Let me just say this to you. If we're not careful, we say that if someone's not married, they'll never really mature. Now I will say this. There's nothing that grows a man up like getting married. Right? I'm telling you, suddenly you don't just get to lay down when you want to. You don't get to do what you want to unless you want to be divorced. Amen, guys. Ain't that what I'm telling the truth? Life changes dramatically. Suddenly you're not able to act like a boy. You've got to be mature in your thought and your pride, put others before you. It's easy to just put your wife before you because she gave you plenty of room. But kids come along, suddenly, time you give your wife what she needs, give your kids what you need, you don't have much left for what you want to do. So you find that is like it grows people up. And that would help a lot of guys. So and by the way, I'm not giving license for someone if they're living together. So, well, you just stay single. I'm not saying that. If they're living together, they need to get married. Amen. Or quit living together. Amen. People say, what do you think? That's what I tell people. I had a nephew. He said, what should I do? And I said, well, you either marry her or move out. They ain't no other thing. No, they ain't no other option. Right? That's pretty simple to me. Listen, I don't have to think about it. Somebody comes along and asks me again. Next time I'll have the same answer. But you see, I want you to understand, the problem is if we ain't careful, we lose God's perspective because people are consumed in trying to find somebody to be married to, somebody that has a boyfriend and a girlfriend. Let me just tell you something. You kids that are in school, you kids that are some of the children, teenagers, we need to tell them, it's fine. I mean, you know, if you got a girlfriend, don't want Alex to get up here and whoop me. All right? That's fine to have a girlfriend, but that shouldn't be your chief goal in life. Even in high school, even in college, that shouldn't be it. Listen, I want you to understand, what should your be chief goal? The thing that I consume most of your time and all your be your chief goal is to please the Lord. Amen. And I believe this, that there is meaning to life without being married. You see, if that is your life goal, you're missing the point because your life goal is to serve the Lord and bring honor and glory to Him. Let me just tell you that there's some people who don't give this by word of warning, so taken in that they must be a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, that they subject themselves to improper relationships. I've noticed some ladies that wanted that affection, wanted that, and what they would do, they would compromise their convictions. I've seen some men that would put themselves in embarrassing situations because they felt as though they must have a girlfriend or have a life partner. That's silly. That would be married, not a life partner, all right? You see, and if we're not careful, we'll rush into things, and what we ultimately end up facing is not the one that God's provided for us because we felt this exterior pressure to be married, to have somebody, that what happens is they often get in a relationship they shouldn't be in, and it ends up in divorce. Listen, I want to tell you, God's never required us to rush into anything. We need to find the one that God wants for us. Let me say this. Thirdly, I believe that we ought to use, if a person's single, use your singleness for God. Now, me and Jill dated for almost 6 years when we got married. We were both young teenagers. I mean, I was 17, she was 15. And believe it or not, I told her one time, and she'll laugh about it now, but I told her, I said, we got to break up. She said, why? I said, you wear your skirts too short to church. And we broke up. I'm not lying. She'll tell you. She was young. I said, but I don't be a preacher. I don't want everybody to say, look at a preacher's wife. Because I knew everybody looked at me different, right? And somebody can't believe you said that, but I'm telling this on God's truth. We did. We broke up. And I remember those times. Listen, I was more interested in pleasing God. And I mean, we had a good discussion, and her dad loved me after that, right? I mean, because he thought the same thing too, all right? And man, that just made me and him were buddies from that point on, and I really liked this guy. And so let me just say to you that what I learned was, in all those years we dated, yes, that I wanted to be married and I loved her. And if I had to do over again, I wouldn't wait as long as I did. I'd married her sooner. I would have. Because somehow everybody says you got to be a certain age and so forth. Man, I tell you what, she was pretty all 6 years. Amen? I wouldn't have married at 15. But she got 18, we got married. I wouldn't have waited to 20. All right, I'd jump the gun. And some of you look at me funny, but some of you probably got married when you were 17 or 18. How many people in here got married 17, 18? Anybody raise your hand? There's a couple right there. All right, that's good. My grandma was 13, my grandpa was 31. They'd send him to prison today. Right? I'm never encouraging that, okay? But you say, what are you saying? I'll tell you what I'm saying. Even though we were dating, I want to tell you everything that I did. You didn't have to. If somebody says opportunity to preach, I was there. But if there's a nursing home, need somebody to preach, I was there. If you go to jail, absolutely, I'll go there. I've rented out old storefronts and I'd ask my church, can we have revival? Church, yeah, if you want to have revival, you can go right ahead. They'd give me authority to do it, and I'd call up preachers, and we'd have revival. I'd have cottage prayer meetings. I'm telling you, I'd go down to the mall, and even me and Jill were married as first pastorates. Let me just tell you, at Buncombe, I couldn't understand why everybody didn't want to go on visitation 4 nights a week. It's like, what's your problem? As I got older and started having kids, I apologized to some of them people because I was mean about it. I don't know why they put up with me. Because I realized with their kids and everything they was doing, I was a big old jerk. Life is busy. And demand. But let me just tell you, when you don't have kids or you're single, you have the ability to do a lot more. And I'll say more about that here just in a minute. But a single person is free from the stress and the strain of marriage. Now, marriage can be good, but it does require something of you. You can enjoy your marriage, be happy in your marriage, but it requires something of you. Look in verse 32 and verse 33. But I'd have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belongeth to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Let me just tell you, when you're not married, you have freedom to go when you want to go. You have freedom to come when you want to come. You have flexibility. You have freedom to give more so. You have freedom to travel. You have freedom to take large steps of faith because guess what? Not every decision you make is going to impact somebody that it is also your responsibility to take care of. You see, a single person is able to do this more freely and without reservation. A married person, let me tell you, brings a child into the world. When they get married and have children, it's a total different dimension. And sometimes we run like chickens with our head cut off. You know what happens? I'm telling you, we had 3 Thursday nights in a row. We had 3 football games in 3 counties. You say, what do? You say, God help us. Call up Matty Crawford. Can you run here? Call up a buddy. Can you say, can you do this? You start tagging people who need help. Can you do? Why? Because that's just what it is. And not only that, you got homework to do. You got to make sure everybody's fed. You got to make sure everybody's ready for tomorrow because they'll all be going in 3 directions in the morning. See, that takes out some strategic planning. Jill wants to sit down and talk about all this stuff.
And I'm thinking, man, can we not just talk about that in the morning? We won't have time to talk about it in the morning. Right? There's strain and stress that comes on that. Now, I want to say to you, and it comes, God put me in charge of my family, so it must be a priority. Now, look, God put me in charge of this ministry, so it must be a priority in my life. But sometimes I think, where is the energy and where is the time going to come from? We run like chickens with our heads cut off. And how can we adequately do both? And I think anybody that has a family and tries to serve the Lord is going to have that struggle. It's going to be there. But I wouldn't miss a day with my kids for anything in the world. I mean, if I can, I'm going to be there. I'm going to try to support them. And if sometimes I can't, sometimes I'll miss a football game. But I'll tell you this, I'm a nervous wreck on the phone calling. So what's going on now? What's happening now? They all right? Everybody safe? I mean, I'm wanting to know. And it's just the way it is. Anyone who loves the Lord is in the ministry. Anyone who loves the Lord that is married, there's lots of things you'd like to do. There's probably mission trips you'd like to go on, but there's something called responsibility sometimes. Someone that's not married, that ain't no problem. They say, oh, I ain't got the money. Listen, I got news for you. When you get married and have kids, you never have any money. Amen? The cost of living is always the same as it's ever been. It takes everything. I mean, you're like blessed. Woo, man, God blessed us. And then this comes in. And this one needs a new pair of shoes. And this one grew out of his pants overnight. And this one tore holes in his pants. And you say, where's those shirts you had? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? They don't disappear. But they had friends over, probably wore them home because they came with church with you or something. It just happens. Life comes. And I'm not going to sit around and stress about it. Because I believe God gave them as a gift, I'm going to enjoy them. But without marriage, let me tell you, you can take all that energy you're focusing and all that stuff, and you can focus it on the things of the Lord. And without going and dissecting every single verse, that's what Paul's talking about here. So he's not, listen, and he's saying someone has to remain unmarried their entire life, but don't be stressed out about it. Use it for the glory of God. Because it can be used for an advantage. There's advantages and disadvantages for the married life and the single life. But oftentimes we focus on the disadvantages. I want to tell you what, we ought to be thankful for the things we get. Now think about this. Tim Tebow's been known to be one that is not, people make fun of him because he said he was a virgin. But think about all the things he's been able to do, not only in football, but in his life, propagating the gospel and being an influence for Jesus Christ because he wasn't tied down. You see, there is advantages, and God's used his life in an impactful way because of his singleness that he could never have used if he had been married. He's a testimony and influence how to use your life for the glory of God. I believe as God's people, we need to realize, yes, it's a good thing to find from wife. You found favor from the Lord. Yes, that's wonderful. But it ain't the end of the world either if you don't have a girlfriend. It ain't the end of the thing in the world if you're not married yet and by everybody else's timetable. Because God wants you to put Him first, regardless where you're at in your life, and He'll honor that. Our Father, I thank You for the Word of God tonight. And God, I am thankful, God, for everybody. Every walk of life, we need people. They're able to people that will serve You. And I'm thankful, and obviously You saw the importance of marriage, but God, no doubt when people got saved at Corinth, there were new dynamics in their life, things they didn't understand. They didn't know how to react. Should they remain married? Should they never get married? Should they get divorced, be single? Could they serve You better if they were single? Was there disadvantages? Should they seek to be married? And God, with all that confusion and chaos that was there, and some of it might scratch your head, but really, if we look around this world today, there's that chaos yet today. God, how we need to put You first. Regardless of where we're at in life, may You be first. And God, in Your timing, if it's Your plan, Your purpose for us to be married, I believe God will not miss the boat. And I am thankful, God, that You will, that person will find interest in us and we'll find interest in them. God, You're able to do that. Lord, I am thankful that You're still God. And Lord, we ought to trust You as such and say, God, here's my life. I want to honor You with it, regardless of my lot. We thank You In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet.